Amen. Amen. Well, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. That'd take care of everything that we're concerned about, praying about tonight. And I sure appreciate the goodness of the Lord. You can be turning to Psalms chapter 119. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to come. Thank you, Brother Wayne, for letting us come. This is one of my dreams, to preach at this church. I thought I'd been here maybe at a preacher's fellowship. I knew I hadn't preached here. But I'm like Joseph. I just dream. I drive by churches and I say, Lord, I'd sure love to preach there. And he's answering dreams. Amen. It's dream on, dreamer. That's all I know to tell you. But I appreciate the ladies cooking. We have a meeting similar to this, and it takes a lot of effort and timing, and we know that God will honor it in days to come. And appreciate all the good preaching. Good to see some of my heroes that have been in the meeting this week. And a lot of them prayed. There's people been here this week that prayed for me before I ever got saved. And I sure appreciate the prayers of the people of God. Psalms 119. If you found your place, if you want to stand and pray that the Lord would help us this evening. Psalms 119 and verse number 81. David said, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful, they persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Psalms 119 is one of the older psalms of David's life. He's about to lay the pen down. His ministry is about over. And just looking around these verses, you find the predicament that David had got in. Back in verse number 67, David made the statement, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. In verse 71, David said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. In verse number 75, David said, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. David's living in a time where he's realizing the afflictions that God has allowed. He actually prayed back in the beginning of Psalms 119. In verse number 12, he said, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. And you know, a lot of things that we faced in the Christian life, I'm pretty much understanding that God is answering prayers that we've prayed. He's learning us things that we desired and prayed for. Years ago, I started looking into the Word of God, and things that I learned, God allowed me to live. I know you understand that in East Tennessee. He learned me some things, but everything He ever learned me out of this Bible, God allowed to live it at one time or another. And then He allows you to lead somebody. Your path will cross with something that God has learned you. In the setting of Psalms 119, you see the position. David is king over Israel. It's the latter days of his life. David is consumed with the failures. He's consumed with failures of others as well as the failures of himself. He also, in Psalms 119, he's remembering the past days as a shepherd boy. I was talking to some of the men this week. I'm having a problem dealing with time. Time is going by quickly. It just seems like yesterday I got saved. It just seems like yesterday the Lord called me to preach, and you turn around and you're 15, 20, 25 years down the road. That's where David is. Time has come, and David is reminiscing on days that are gone by. In verse number 81 of our text, and I'm not going to look at all of these individually, but you see the fainting soul. David said, my soul fainteth for thy salvation. That word word fainteth, it means to cease. It means to be finished. David is crying that cry for deliverance. He said, my soul faileth. That's what they just sung, that blessed hope. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior. David said, my soul's fainting, but I hope in thy word. That's all we've got tonight is the word of God. People have failed us. Ministries have failed us. Heroes have failed us. And David is looking at the failures of Ahithophel, his family, his own flesh. And David said, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, for thy deliverance, for thy escape. And then he said in verse number 82, he talked about failed sight. He said, mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? David's not seeing things clearly now. His mind is clouded with failures and the failures of others. And David is crying out, when will you comfort me? I found myself in that place a few times, crying out, Lord, when will you comfort me? You've helped others. You've strengthened others. You've saved others. Lord, when wilt thou comfort me? And then in verse number 84, David said, how many are the days of thy servant? How long do I have left? How much time? What am I going to do with the days that I have left? I tell you one thing about getting older is you start understanding what the important things of life are, of church and family, and seeing sinners get saved. That's what it's all about. The things that we desired in our youth, they don't mean much now, but you get to look into the other side. When I come down to Alcoa Highway on Wednesday night, I started looking. My family's gone. They're already on the other side. My mother and my father, I drive by Highland Memorial Cemetery there in Knoxville, and they're already on the other side. I've got a brother over there. I've got three children over there. All of my aunts and uncles are on the other side. You get to looking and realizing, just like they just sung, it's far better on the other side. But until then, he said, it's required in a steward that we be found faithful. But it's not going to be much longer till the Lord comes. David said, how many days do I have left? In verse number 85, there's the failure. The failure of the desired, the sinfulness, those that desired. He said in verse 85, the proud have digged pits for me. That dug pit was a trap that they would use to trap wild animals. David said, I'm trying to live life and trying to finish life, but it seems like mine enemies have dug traps. And there's traps all around us. We've heard it all week. The traps of compromise, the traps of Calvinism, the traps that the enemy has set up. And David has got weary in trying to do right, not weary in well-doing or of well-doing, but he's got tired in life. He does not understand why God has done what he's done and allowed what he's allowed. But he said there in verse number 86, all thy commandments are faithful. The word of God's always been right. David confesses in his inability that God is able. David doesn't understand and can't explain it all. But when he opens up the blessed book, he said, you're faithful. You were faithful when you called me. You were faithful on the backside of the mountain. You were faithful through it all. And in the last verse, in verse 88, David desires to finish right. He said, quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. I want to finish right. Now listen to what I'm saying. We won't argue about it. But you know, you can start out not exactly right. I'm not talking about the qualifications of a preacher. But you can start out and not be exactly right. But you can get right. And there's times in the Christian life you might fail and come short, but you can get right. But I'm telling you, we've got to finish right. There's not a second chance. There's not a do-over. And that's where David is in Psalms 88. He said, quicken me. Make me alive. Make me aware. I want to finish what you put me in. And I want to finish right. Now look at verse 83 and we'll be done. There's the fashioning in the smoke. David said in verse 83, for I am become like a bottle in the smoke. I was reading through Psalms 119. One of our Sunday school teachers challenged us to do that again. And I come across this and I thought, what is he talking about? I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Don't ask me to explain it, but I've seen smoke in a bottle before I got saved. What's he talking about? A bottle in the smoke. You know, you think about a bottle in the day that we live in. You know, I could ask these young people, I could say, what is this right here? What did y'all bring me? Who brought this up here? What did you bring me? What is it? We call this a bottle of water. You can think about, those of us who are a little older, you can remember when Coca-Cola come in a half a liter. You can remember when milk, a glass jug. I remember as a little boy, the milkman used to deliver and put it on the porch, and it would be in a Mayfield glass jar, a container. My favorite syrup, Cairo syrup, it would come in that glass bottle about that big, had that little neck, and you could just soak down everything that you ate. David said, I am become like a bottle in the smoke. He's not talking about a glass bottle. He's not talking about a plastic bottle. David talking about remembering the days of his youth when he was a young shepherd boy. This bottle that David's talking about here, it refers to animal skins. Now what this individual would do is he would take an animal and he would skin it. It'd usually be a goat. And he would kill it, he would eat the meat, and then he would take the skin and he would sew it together. He would sew it together to make something useful out of it. The individual had a title. I read it on one of your books over there on the table. The individual had a title, just simply the bottle maker. When he sewed it together, that wouldn't make it usable. There was a process that it had to go through. This bottle maker, according to Albert Barnes, he said that he had a tent that he traveled with. It didn't have any windows, only had one door. There was only one way into it. And he had a wooden rack, and he constructed that rack. And he would take those skins after they were sewn together, and he would lay them on that rack, put them in that tent, and then he would shut the door. The bottle maker, he would gather green wood, and it made minimal fire, but it mingled with dark, dark smoke. It produced a whole lot of heat. He would take the sewn skin and place it upon the rack. Then he would close the door. When he closed that door with no windows to see out, it would become dark. That smoke would begin to billow and just simmer and roll back and forth. That's what David is trying to tell us this evening. I've become like a bottle in the smoke. God's put me somewhere. He has shut me up. He has shut me out. He's closed me in. He's turned up the heat. It's got smoky and cloudy. I can't see. I can't call out. I can't cry. David is telling us what's in the very heart of his soul. He would take that sewn skin, place it upon that rack, close the door. And as that heating process would start taking place, there would be impurities, Brother Donnie, that would start dripping out of that skin. That skin, that smoke, that fire, everything in that process, impurities would start coming out. See, when God puts us in places that we don't understand, He knows there's something in us that we either need to have out of us or to have in us. See, we don't understand. We'd never choose it. We'd never go there. We'd never say, hey, put me in the tent. Turn up the fire. Bring on the smoke. We would never ask for that. But God knows what we need. The grease and the impurities would drip out of the skin. But also as that impurities and the grease would come out, it would start tightening and tightening, and then it would become usable. It would become so tight they could pour in wine, not fermented wine, liquor. I'm not talking about that. They could pour in wine. They could pour in the water. They could use it to travel in the desert. It became something that was usable for the bottle maker. I don't know where you're at or where you've been or where we'll go before this journey's over. But there's times we might be able to relate to what David said, where he said, for I am become like a bottle in the smoke. It was a confined experience. It was dark. David was alone. There's a lot of time involved. This don't just happen overnight. You know, if we could all go together, if we could all jump in the tent and hold one another and pray for one another and encourage one another, it'd be a lot easier, I think, to encounter that experience and endure that experience. But when this time comes and the heavenly bottle maker puts us in a place of confinement and turns up the heat and the smoke starts coming in and the impurities start coming out, it's what God knows that we need in or out of our lives. There's the conditions that it endured, the heat, the purifying. There's the pressure. I got to thinking about this afternoon. That pressure is that skin. As it begins to tighten, as the impurities come out, there's a lot of pressure gets put on it. It begins to pull tight. I've heard some testify since I've been here in this meeting about the pressures of life, about the tightness of church and pastoring and parenting and just trying to survive and stay faithful and finish. That's what David was experiencing. It was beginning to pull on him. It was beginning to press on him. And in the context, he's talking about the failure of his family, of Ahithophel, of Absalom, his own failures and coming short of the glory of God. It was a time of pressure and pulling on the man of God's life. But God has a place that he's going to take this bottle. Every hour, the bottle maker would come in and check on those sewn skins. Every hour. They didn't have gauges. They didn't have meters. They didn't have something hooked up, you know, on the outside and it said this hot, this cold. You know how he checked the bottle? The bottle maker would come in and he would put his hands to make sure that it wasn't too tight. He had rearranged it where it wouldn't pull it apart. I'm telling you, it's been that way a little bit this week. God set in here with the Word of God, and we come in with situations we thought was going to pull us apart. We thought it was going to be the end. Let me encourage you with this tonight. You might be thinking, this is the end. It's not going to go any further. Well, do you not remember the last time you thought it was the end? Do you not remember the last time it seemed like it was over? You'd never sing again, pray again, preach again. But in that time, God came through. And it just gives us faith to understand that He'll do it. He'll do it again. He comes in and He puts His hand on that bottle. He makes sure that it's not too tight, that it's not going to burst. He makes sure those seams are getting straight and tight so that it can be filled, so it can be used. Our heavenly bottle maker places us in, just like David, like bottles of smoke. Times of darkness and discomfort and distress. That's what David just said previously. He said had he not been afflicted, he wouldn't have learned the Lord's statutes. You look back at the storms and the trials and the tents in your life. That's where you found out how real God was. That's when you started seeing things out of His Word, seeing Him like He is and us like we are. It was in those times of the ten. It was in the times of the smoke and heat and the pressure and the pulling. But He's watching over every bit of it. It's not going to be too much. It's not going to take us out. He's conforming us to an image that can be filled and be usable in the hand of the bottle maker. To be useful. See, you got to understand. You say, preacher, he ought not do that. Well, you got to understand this. They belong to him. You might have been like me in days gone by and argued with God and saying, God, you shouldn't have done this. Now, I know in East Tennessee it's taboo to question God, but I'll do it for all of us. There's been a lot of times I said, Lord, I don't understand this one. Lord, I'd say, Lord, when I get to heaven, you're going to have to explain this to me. And then He lets me know that the former things are going to pass away. He's not going to sit down and us kick our feet in the river of life and Him explain what He's done. That makes Him God. He's God. He's not going to say, I did this to bring this. He's just going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He's not going to instruct us on what He's done in our Christian life. He's got the right to place them on that rack. And He'll remove us when He's ready. Can I tell you what I got out of one of Brother Grissom's books? I won't say his name because some people don't like him. But he said David's face through the sorrow had become dark and dismal furrows that lined his face. His character had been smoked with slander. His mind had been parched with persecution. See, he was a parent. You don't have to raise your hand. Does any mom or dad in here tonight ever have that go through your mind? I could have done better. I could have done different. See, how do you think David felt when he was embarrassed before the whole nation? And it was David that went all the way back and fought Goliath. Had it not been for David, the whole nation of Israel would be under that Gentile, that uncircumcised leadership and rulership. And don't you know, at night when David would pillow his head, he would have said, I should have stayed home more. I should have went to battle. I should have never brought this on my family. How could my boy do this? How could it ever go this far? David feared. And here's another thing about getting older. David feared men would look on him as useless and unable, as just an old wine bottle. I remember Brother Ed Blue telling my brother, he said, you better enjoy this ministry while you got it, because he said one day there'll come a younger one. I tell you one thing about some of y'all been at our church. We don't have the best church. I love it. I think it is. But they love older men of God. I had a preacher, he's disqualified, Brother Mike, tonight. But he told me when I first started, he said, you better be good to these older men, because one day you're going to be older. David is fearing what a lot of us have feared, that he's going to be put aside. He's going to be overlooked. He's not going to be useful in the ministry of God anymore. This process of smoke and fire and emptying, it pictured the life that David had lived. That man said in conclusion, he said, very black and hot has been the smoke which has developed you and I in the Christian life. It seemed to come not alone from the Egyptian furnace or from the bottle maker's smoke, but at times from the bottomless pit. But it was not long after, and we've already looked at it, that David realized it wasn't the Egyptians. It wasn't the bottomless pit. It wasn't it was God. See, that's one of the things we have a problem with, is that God would allow situations to come. He's got the right to do what he does. And right there, I was about to lay my pen down. I thought, that's pretty good. It is. That's what you taught me. I got introduction, content, an illustration. I read from an educated man. I was bringing it to a conclusion. You're quiet and listening. And I started to lay my pen down. Notice between verse 80 and verse 81, there's a four-letter word. I pronounced it, being from East Tennessee, calf. But a Hebrew scholar told me it's cough. Calf, cough, it don't matter. I'm preaching. I didn't know what it meant. I had to look it up. That word calf, cough, calf, however, buyer, beer, it don't matter. It's the 11th letter in the Hebrew alphabet. 11 in Bible numerology means transgression, it means evil, it means peril, it means sin. It means also disorder and chaos. That's right where David is living. The Hebrew word calf or cough, and it's a picture phrase. You're going to have to trust me. I can't make this stuff up. I don't know why people want to make up preaching and get preaching off CNN. And there's so much in this Bible. I mean, what's in between verses? I was looking in my Strong. Strong starts out verse 81, C-A-P-H. It's in there for a reason. It's not just there to be overlooked and some kind of oversight. That word cough, you're not going to believe what it means. You look it up in the Hebrew, it means a camel's humps. A camel, a lot of times in the Word of God, is a picture of grace. Preacher, how am I going to endure this? How am I going to endure the loss of a wife? How am I going to endure the slander of the brethren? How am I going to endure my own failures? How am I going to endure when my heroes fall out by the wayside? God said, I need to put something in here that you're going to have to look up, but you'll understand. And he put a four-letter word, the 11th number in the Hebrew alphabet, kaf. It pictures the humps of a camel. A camel that we call grace. The camel's been called the ship of the desert. A camel's got webbed feet that make the camel sure-footed. It won't stumble. The camel's foot has air packs in it. Makes it like leather feet. The camel, I didn't know this one, the camel can run up to 40 miles an hour. It can live up to 45 years. You know what that helped me with? Whatever you're going through, whatever desert you're in, wherever you're at in David's life, grace will outlive it. Grace will outlive the storm. There will come a tomorrow. You will sing again. You will teach again. You will preach again because of cough of grace that God has for us. The humps, I didn't know this one either. I've been ignorant all my ministry. The humps are not water. They're fatty tissue to comfort the ride, the journey for the rider. Has grace not comforted when brethren came by and said, I know how you feel. I'm praying for you. If you ever need anything, just call and you pillow your head and you feel like you're in a place of smoke and fire. Can't see things clearly, but it just seems like here comes grace. And God picks us up and puts us in between them humps and starts carrying us in and on the journey. Camel's got two rows of eyelashes. Remember Tammy Faye Baker? She had them. These youngins don't know who. Don't go Google it either. You don't need to know who it is. Got two rows of eyelashes to protect its vision. No matter how bad the storm. There's been a few times I couldn't see the end. There's been a few nights I thought, well, this is it. There's been a few times I remember landing at that airport about 15 years ago. Some of my men from the church at Ball Road picked me up. The world had turned upside down. I didn't know what I was going to tell the brethren. I didn't know what I was going to tell my mother. I didn't even know what to tell myself. My Bible was up in a luggage rack somewhere. And all I had was two parts of two verses. God said, my grace will be sufficient. That grace of God picked me up, put me between them humps. I didn't know which way to go or where to go. I didn't know if you were real, he was real. If anybody was real, and he showed himself to be real. And then he showed me another part of a verse. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Camel's ears. I didn't know this one either. Camel's ears are small. But yet the sense of hearing is extremely strong. You ever cried out for grace? And does that ever look like God was so far away you couldn't see him or sense him or feel him? And you started crying out. And I'm telling you, I'm not belittling God. But them little old ears of that camel, when that rider would begin to cry out, he may not be that far away, but he seemed like he was far away. That camel would turn and go where that rider was and do what that rider could not do. God's not far away. God may be in the dark, but he dwells in the thick dark. Darkness. He promised us he'd never leave us, never forsake us. The camel stores up to 20 to 30 gallons of water. That's more enough to cross any desert that we'll ever face in life. One writer said this, I don't know it to be true, but he said camels can smell water for many miles. Not for itself, but for the rider. The camel will kneel down and allow the rider to get on. I'm glad one day got grace come to where I was. I would tell you about it, but Brother Raines needs to preach to us. 26 years ago on a Friday night, by Bearden High School, right off there over Kingston Pike, I was lost without God. I was so far in sin. I don't talk about it. There's little ears. My boys have heard more than I wished I'd ever told them. But I was so deep in sin. My brother had preached at me and preached to me. Some of you prayed for me before I ever got in the family of God. But here comes down the road on a Friday night, Travis Tripp and the tape player, Budweiser in the floorboard. But here come an old camel down Kingston Pike, turned up there by Bearden High School. We had a head-on collision in that pickup truck. He knocked that Chevy out of the road, put me in, and I got in that night. I didn't understand it all, couldn't explain it all, and found out I know less tonight, but His grace has been sufficient. Once on the journey, if a strong storm is encountered, the camel will lay down, allow the rider to use it as a shelter, and he'll shelter him from the storm. I didn't know this one either. A boy had helped me. The camel, God built a homing device into the old camel. And if the rider can't find the way home, that camel knows how to get back to the house. I don't know if it's true or not, but it makes good preaching. Grace, God's grace, amazing grace, has saw us this far. It'll see us home. I don't know what the camel can do but spit in your eye in this world. But I know what grace, right between what David was going through, God Almighty said, I need to insert grace for my children to be able to encounter the storms of life, the places where they're like bottles of smoke. You say, preacher, I don't understand. David didn't, but he knew a God that did. There's so much. You remember Rebecca? She stayed on the camel till she saw the son, Isaac. One day we're going to get off the camel when we see the S-O-N. You know what the biblical term is, that she lighted off the camel. I can't say it over in Burnsville. They've grown tobacco all their life. We didn't light up a camel, but she got off the camel. You understand what she's saying? I'm telling you, grace will have its destiny. It'll get us to the end. And God, just like Isaac, will be everything that the servant said he was. It'll be heaven and so much more. The storms of life, the scars of sin will finally be erased. And God will show us everything that He ever was. I'm glad He's been more than He ever promised He would be. Thank you, preacher, for letting me preach.
Let's stand to our feet tonight. I ask you to bow your head. Sister Grace is going to play a little bit. If God spoke to your heart, He spoke to your heart, would you be obedient to the Spirit of God this evening? Thank you.